I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning, and thank you for spending your morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chalaos, Tom Bettis with you this morning. We'll be with you for our regular hours. Football season pretty much has been wrapping up. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Next person, well, first of all, somebody was commenting on the rosemary that they have ARP, and they're wondering if they can trim some for use in cooking during the fall or if that's going to kill it.
No, for the small amounts that you need, it is fine to do. The, you know, a little rosemary goes a long way.
It really does.
So, yeah, you're fine. You want to do your main trimming for form in the spring after it's done blooming, but it's totally fine.
Yeah, just to clip a few sprigs isn't going to hurt it.
No, not at all.
Next person would like to know, should they trim their lavender bushes close to the ground for winter?
This is another one that...
I want to trim mine close to the ground, believe me, but I know better.
We need, on the lavender, you really need to consider it a woody plant. And if you trim it to the ground, you'll kill it, or it'll be severely damaged. And so what we recommend doing is after it's done blooming in the summer, you can cut those dead flower heads back and give it light haircuts. And the trick to this is a couple of times a summer, just 5 or 10% of the foliage, you can trim it back to make it bushier and keep it back. But if you go in and trim it at the base, it's done.
I'm wondering if I want to just do that and have it be done. Mine's just so big and out of control, and it's kind of lost its purpose in how it looks right now.
Yeah, there's a couple of old-fashioned varieties that have been around, I guess, being Lady Redundant Woman. No, sorry, that's from an old PBS
what?
Show. I was being redundant. There's a couple of old-fashioned varieties that have been around a long time, planted a long time, that get 2 to 3 feet tall, but there are many newer cultivars and hybrids that will stay down as low as 18 inches that have longer bloom times. And so I always tell people, unless they have sentimental value, I am fine with tearing out older rosemaries because they do get tired and kind of ratty.
You're talking lavender now.
Lavenders. The caffeine's kicking
confusing
in too much.
Confusing you now.
But the lavenders, that is fine to put in a newer variety that's going to stay more compact and have a longer bloom time.
Yeah, that's what I need to do. I just need more time to do all of these things in my yard. And it's kind of hidden compared to the other things that people see, so it just kind of gets forgotten. Next person would like to know, Ton, if you have some reliable information about baking bird seed to keep it from sprouting. Do you bake bird seed to keep it from sprouting?
Commercial bird seed, I guess, if depending on the seed source, I guess it could sprout because they're... are canola plants in there and sunflowers and things. So I guess you could. And what I would do is follow the instructions for sunflowers to where you're going to let them just dry roast at a lower temperature for, I can't remember the time off the top of my head, but it seems like a half hour to 45 minutes just to make sure that the seeds can't germinate. But I've never been one to put bird seed or bird feed out for the winter, but I suppose that could become a problem.
Oh, it becomes a problem. We decided to put a big bird feeder in the middle of our vegetable garden one year, and they just sprouted everywhere. It was the biggest mess ever. So I understand what they're talking about. They say they actually have tried this before, and they actually, even after they baked them, they still sprouted.
They weren't baked long enough, or they didn't get to a high enough temperature to kill the embryo and the seed. And so they need to bake them longer. You also don't want to do, you know, just single layers or just a very light layer on a baking sheet, like a cookie sheet. If you have that a half inch thick, it's not going to heat up in the middle that well. So they might need to do a few batches at just on a really just a single layer.
Right. And what was I going to ask you? I had another question right at the top of my head. Okay. I guess I'll think of it later. So I've never tried to bake that, but you're saying at least 30 minutes and probably at least at 400 degrees.
Yes. And it's something I would want to look into. You know, we get some pretty, and this is a good question. And I say oddball questions. This is one I've never had and I'd want to do a little more research, but if I pending not finding any research, I would follow instructions for pumpkin seeds or sunflower seeds.
Right. They don't want to, you know, do it again and then have to put pre-emergent down and affect the birds that way. So yeah, I appreciate that a lot. Let's go to our next caller this morning, and that's Suzanne and Murray. Good morning, Suzanne. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. I have several different plants that are out-of-zone plants, and I had read that I had to wait for the soil to really freeze hard to mulch those. Is that true?
No. You need to mulch them before the soil freezes.
Oh, okay.
You're trying to protect the roots, and if the soil freezes, that a lot of times will knock them out. And so if you were, you know, the gladiolas and the cannas and a number of other semi-hardy perennials, you want to cover those after they've died back, but before the soil's frozen.
So right now.
Right now is a great time to do it.
Right now is a really good time.
Yeah, what plants are you planning on covering?
Agapanthus, crepe myrtle, bear's breech, and one really,
You've gone all in.
Yeah. I don't mulch my baby tears. It doesn't work well to mulch baby tears, and I don't know what zone they are, but they survive.
Good. How long have you had your crepe myrtle in?
It's been in about 7 or 8 years, and I started with 3, and I only have 1 now.
Okay. And how tall will it get by fall?
Oh, it freezes back to the ground each time, so it only gets a good 3 feet tall.
Okay, but you do get the flowers?
I do.
Good.
I do, but it's not a long bloom time.
No. They're one of those plants, those trees that are just so frustrating because in areas like even like Moab, there's a few hardy varieties in St. George. There's plenty of them that will bloom the last half of the summer. And
oh,
it's
know.
Just
I've seen
people,
them.
When you go down there into the southeast, we're just so jealous of those crepe myrtles. But for as many cold hardy types as I've seen advertised, I've never seen them overwinter very well. And your experience is pretty typical.
Yeah. Now, what about amyris? Am I supposed to be mulching that?
What is it?
Foxtail lily.
Foxtail lily. I would try mulching them. Have you done it in the past?
No, I haven't, but they're sending up a central stalk or whatever you call it that is breaking the soil.
Yeah, sometimes these plants will not have a dormant period because they're native to Mediterranean climates that even though, you know, someplace like Sacramento or Los Angeles could be anywhere from the 50s, 60s, low 70s and freezing at night, they survive it. And it just may not genetically have that built into it. And so that maybe you can try mulching it and see what happens. But
one
I've never
other
seen
quick question on the zone maps, the change. What do you think about that? And how do we deal with that?
You've got to remember that it's the average low and it's not an indication of winter heat overall, because if we were truly zone 7, there would be palm trees that we could grow outside that would need no protection, but they still do. And so even though our average nightly lows are not as cold as they used to be, we are not really a zone 7, because during the day we would need to be in the high 40s and low 50s consistently to be a true low zone 7, to where a lot of those plants will survive. And so there are a few things that still go winter dormant that do fine, but for things like, as you're finding with the crepe myrtles and, you know, a lot of those kinds of plants, we are still just too cold.
Okay, one really quick question. How soon do I wrap my new trees, the trunks?
As soon as you can.
Okay.
If you're not too squeamish, get some water-based latex paint, mix it one-to-one with water, and paint them.
All right.
So you can do that, or you can get the tree wrap. And make sure it's white, not brown. Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Suzanne, for your call this morning. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Anton with you. We're excited to be back for a full show today. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Next listener, Ton, says they live at a mile high in central Utah. They want some shade trees on the south side of their home, no more than 20 feet tall. Do you have any suggestions for their climate?
Well, I wanted to bring up that elevation is not an absolute correlation to how cold you get. And okay. So if someone says my elevation is this, we really need a city. But there's plenty of shade trees that will be hardy at 5,500
feet. Central Utah is not good enough for
it's just if it is Central Utah, Santa Quinn as compared to Central Utah, even Mona, there's some differences. And so depending on what they want to grow, that can make a difference. But if they only want something 20 feet tall, spring snow crab apples are fruitless and do well. They can find those in the spring. Canada red chokecherry, the royal raindrops crab apple. The fruit's only a quarter of an inch and very sparse. Some of the flowering cherries are going to be a little more cold hardy, something like the sergeant cherry. Then they could also move toward hawthorns if they want to maybe bring some birds into the yard for the winter that are quite hardy and wonderful trees.
All right. Let's take a call from Ernie in Bountiful. Good morning, Ernie. What can we help you with?
Good morning. Well, you know, as I'm out there raking leaves, enjoying my outdoor experience, I think about what am I doing? Because I'm raking leaves to uncover the blades of grass and the leaves of other living plants during the winter. But as I think about it, I was taught in secondary school how leaves from trees serve as fertilizer for the trees and other plants. So I'm feeling a little guilty raking the leaves away in bare areas that probably could be used for fertilizer for my trees. And I'm wondering what leaves really should I be raking and what should I leave as fertilizer?
Well, I'm going to split some hairs here because the leaves are not fertilizer. They do improve the soil and make it so that the trees can get nutrients more easily. But it's a misnomer to call something like compost or mulch fertilizer because they are literally different things. But your train of thought is very right. So if you have bare soil, it is fine to leave those leaves because you'll be creating some habitat for beneficial insects. And it will greatly improve the soil. But one thing you could do is mow those up and collect them and compost them or just leave them dry in garbage sacks and then reapply them in the spring would be the other option. But your train of thought's absolutely correct that where you have bare soil, those leaves can stay.
Okay, that's what I needed to know. Thank you.
Yeah, now you do want to be a little cautious. If you've had problems with voles or mice, you know, those will offer habitat to them too. And so if you were having a really bad year for rodents, you may want to collect them and then put them back down in the spring.
Okay, I like that. Thank you very much for your time.
All right, Ernie, thanks for your call this morning. Let's go to our next caller, who is Dave in Layton. Good morning, Dave. How can we help you this morning?
Hi. Yes, I have a island in my front yard, and I put like 5 or 6 burning bushes in there. And last summer, one of them died. And I thought, well, what the, you know, what's going on here? Because, you know, if it was a disease, I would expect all of them to die.
They're heartbreakers. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
The burning bush, that's actually how disease works. If they all died at once, it would actually be something in the environment that killed them. But where you have one go down, that's very indicative of disease. And burning bush, as Maria said, are heartbreakers because you'll get a nice hedgerow of them and there'll be 6 or 7 years old and all of a sudden one just collapses. And you don't know why. And so to prevent that, they need to be fertilized a couple of times a year with triple 16 fertilizer. You do it sometime in early April and again in late May into mid-June. And you do that to keep the nutrients up, and it seems to keep those root diseases at bay.
Yeah. Okay. So there's nothing I can put in the soil to prevent the others from going down?
No, you just fertilize because there's literally millions of microorganisms per tablespoon of soil, and there's both beneficial and sometimes non-beneficials that are disease-causing, and there's nothing you can apply to the soil short of killing the entire biome that would get rid of it. And so your best bet is to keep the plants healthy.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right, Dave. Thanks for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says they have a magnolia tree. Someone just gave them as a gift. It's in a smallish pot, about 2 to 3 feet tall. What should they do with it? Will it even grow here?
It depends on the kind of magnolia. And so if they could text back in and say if it's like an Edith Bogue southern magnolia compared to just a bush that's deciduous. If the bush is deciduous, it'll absolutely survive. And they're beautiful. But if it's something like a southern magnolia, the evergreen magnolias, even Edith, you know, the Edith Bogue is one that's really cold hardy, but it needs to be in a protected spot, almost like your pomegranate for 4 or 5 years. Once you get it established, sometimes they'll take.
All right. And the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Take a break for the top of the hour news, and we'll be back with more of the Greenhouse Show. If you didn't hear the plant of the week, it was Norfolk Pine this morning. And you can check out the article that we have up on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.